It is the Homer Hour here on ESPN Milwaukee. I'm Kyle Wallace, who's your cousin sub of the day for Homer as he's out on assignment. I'm so excited to be joined by Packers reporter and also host of Wilde and Tausch. 10-year anniversary they're celebrating, 9 to noon every day here on ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Wisconsin. How you doing, Jason? Been a while.
Yeah, Kyle, I'm pleasantly surprised. I was on your show earlier today, and now here I am with you, and I was on a call. No, it wasn't today. It was yesterday. And then I was on a call. I'm very confused right now, but I'm happy to be with you.
You know what's crazy about this, Jason, is that I feel like a lot of people are thrown off this week because this is like a five-day work week, and you join Kyle and Brust on Monday. Today's Wednesday.
Correct. Yeah, it is today. Yeah, it is Wednesday.
Yeah, I thought today, because I didn't come to work on Monday. I was off still on my honeymoon. And I thought today was Tuesday up until somebody said it was Wednesday. I said, oh, wow, it is Wednesday. And yes, I did see you earlier today on the call. It was good to see you, Jason. It's been a while. And I was on social media. And before we go, got married. Any tips now that I'm a married man? You're a happy husband. Any tips as a married man that you have for me?
Communication. It's all about communication. Sometimes Paul is not great at that, and that's one of the few things that I don't want to say I get after her about, but I have to occasionally remind her, hey, you gotta communicate. We got to be on the same page. There's a lot of moving pieces at our house, and fewer moving pieces for you at the moment. We'll yes. see
only
how that
pieces.
Changes.
Yeah, yeah, Lord willing it changes.
Yeah, so I communication is my tip of the day.
I love that communication. Now, Jason, I saw a clip of yours on ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison's Instagram page, and you were strongly telling fans that they can't live in the past when it comes to Packers playoff losses, specifically talking about the criticism of Matt LaFleur. You spoke with a lot of conviction. What triggered you in that moment?
Well, I think it's that there's a portion of the fan base that obviously is very critical of him, and I'm not saying that they don't have a right to be critical of him. They should be critical. There have been some failures by this team in some pretty big moments. But I get the sense that, you know, people want Matt LaFleur to feel as bad about the loss to the Bears as they do, and I still get this. When I will bring up the 2014 NFC Championship game, I'll have fans will say, oh, too soon! Too soon. 11 plus years ago, right?
Yeah, it's been a while.
But I think, you know, what I don't think people fully understand is that it's these guys' job. And obviously, you know, you've played. You obviously have a family member who is in the NFL. It's their job to compartmentalize. It's their job to move on. There's nothing they can do about what happened in Chicago on January 10th anymore. Now they can take lessons from it, and they can change their emphasis, and Matt LaFleur can focus his offense on being more like the offense it was in year one when he arrived in Green Bay and all those things. But, you know, if you want him wandering the streets of Green Bay muttering to himself, I can't believe we blew a 21-3 halftime lead. I can't believe we gave up 25 fourth quarter points. I can't believe our kicker missed 7 points worth of kicks. You know, that's not his. It's not his job to live in the past. It's his job, as my buddy Will Summers knows from listening to our show this morning. It's his job to fix things for the future, and I think that's what he's been doing. And I'm not saying he's above criticism in any way, but there is. It feels like, you know, I was scrolling through our YouTube comments during our show. It just feels like there's a segment of the fan base that just thinks he's not a very good coach and wants somebody else.
It does.
And so I get it. You're certainly entitled to your opinion, but I just think people need to understand how much he does care about it. And as upset as you are about the way that game went 6 months ago, he's just as upset. He just is channeling that into doing something about it for this season as opposed to reliving the disappointment of that game.
Yeah, I feel, Jason, that Packers fans, you know, I'm one of them. I feel like sometimes we're just so spoiled that we just simply think replacing a head coach means that the next coach is going to get better. And I think a lot of people don't remember what it was like with Ray Rose, who I believe that team just went 8-8 with Ray Rose. And then Mike Sherman came in. They eventually, you know, they got better, turned things around, and they had some struggles, and he ended up going. It's not that easy just to hire a coach. I feel like this fan base, as a Packers fan, we're just too spoiled with success.
Yeah, and look, I finished a piece for Madison Magazine, and I'd had a long conversation with Matt last week, and I did use the line that, you know, that there's a frustration among members of the passionate and some might say entitled fan base, because I do think that. I mean, I think people, you know, look at Jordan Love through that lens. And I think Jordan Love's a good quarterback. You and I and Brust have talked about this a million times. But I think it's a really important year for him to elevate, to be more than just a good quarterback. And if they're going to get to the places they want to go, not only does he need to elevate his game, but a bunch of other dudes on that roster have to elevate their games too. And if they do that, you know, I think they got a shot to do something pretty special.
Now, speaking about doing something special, Jason, is that when you look at this defense and you look at this team, who will be a key part of this Packers defense outside of Micah Parsons in order for them to be successful? Because it is, we don't know how many games Micah is going to miss. We know for sure four, right? We all feel pretty confident with four. It could be all the way up to eight games. We're not sure. But who on this defense outside of Micah Parsons needs to be successful and needs to step up in order for this defense to truly thrive?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of guys that I'm looking at as guys that really need to, that are good players now, that can be really, really good players. And I look at a guy like Evan Williams, who I thought actually had a breakthrough season last season. So I think he's already kind of entered that group, but I think he can still do even more. I think the two guys that I'm looking at on defense most closely are Edgerrin Cooper, who was obviously the normal host of this show, couldn't talk enough about how he won the Defensive Player of the Week award.
That's what he did, right?
Not just rookie Defensive Player of the Week, but the Defensive Player of the Week.
Two
rookie
times.
Had nothing to do with it. And he did it twice, and then, you know, last year I just don't. And he acknowledged this when I talked to him at the end of the minicamp. Like he didn't reach the point of your expectations of elevating from there. Now he's going to be in a new system. He's got a new running mate. It'll be interesting to see to what level he can elevate his game now. And if he does, I think he can be a dominant special player. And then the other guy who was drafted in the same round as him in the same draft is Javon Bullard, who I also think is going to have an opportunity to really elevate his game and be a field tilter if he is the player who I think he is.
I mean, you focused, you know, we talked about the defense there, Jason. Through OTA, did we learn anything more about Jonathan Gannon's defensive scheme? I know that was one of the biggest things, is that we felt like we hadn't heard from him because he didn't do a press conference until, was it May of this year?
Yeah, it was a long time.
Through OTAs, did you learn anything new about the defensive scheme, the defensive system that they're going to be, you know, implementing in the 2026 season?
Well, I did see Edgerrin Cooper on the edge, putting the edge in Edgerrin from time to time. You know, I think he's going to play a lot of base defense, obviously. They're a 3-4. So when they were in their base defense, they're going to play a lot of nickel defense, I should say. But when they were in their base defense, you know, the three down linemen with Devontae Wyatt not practicing were Javon Hargrave, and Carl Brooks were kind of the two big fellas. And then they kind of rotated through with a few different options at the other defensive end spot. But, you know, they feel like they've got some pretty good big guys. They gave Chris McClellan, their second-round pick, some work with the ones. But, look, this defense, the biggest thing this defense has to do is take the ball away. And they did it 2 years ago, and they did a terrible job of it last year. I mean, 14 takeaways, 7 interceptions, 7 fumble recoveries. That's just not going to cut it. They have to give their offense short fields. I mean, we saw what takeaways did for a Chicago Bears defense that otherwise statistically was not, you know, one of the best defenses in the league by any means. But when you get takeaways, it erases a lot of shortcomings, and it also gives you a better chance at winning close games, which is certainly something that the Bears did very well last season because of those takeaways.
Speaking with Jason Wilde, you can always hear Jason Wilde on Wilde and Tausch, 9 a.m. to noon weekdays. here on ESPN Wisconsin. Now, Jason, there was an article from ESPN that talked about they ranked the top 10 rosters, total rosters in the NFL, and the Green Bay Packers came in at number 10 for overall best roster. Do you think that's too high, too low, or just right?
Yeah, Goldilocks, I'm not sure. I don't know enough about the other rosters. I would say this. I think they've got a lot of really good players. Do they have enough depth? And to me, it's not my article, it's not my list, so I'm in no way criticizing whoever made it. All I would say is that I do not know the other 31 rosters well enough to be able to speak to, oh, well, you know, the Packers have a good starting 22, for example, but I really don't like their depth. That's how I would view them. I'm guessing there's other teams that I would view similarly that,
Well, then, Jason, with that then, do you think the Packers, because for me, when I see if the experts are saying that this is a top 10 roster, to me that means that you're a Super Bowl caliber team.
Well, at least there's one expert saying that, right? I don't know how many others are.
Well, when you look at it, do you think this Green Bay Packers team entering the season is a Super Bowl caliber roster?
I think they're certainly a Super Bowl contending roster. They're a roster that needs to stay healthy. I mean, again, I don't think their losses this offseason were crippling losses. I think Romeo Doubs was an underrated player. I think they don't win the game in Detroit without Dontayvion Wicks having the kind of day that he had. So I'm not saying that they won't miss those guys. I'm not saying that, I don't know if Zaire Franklin is going to be an upgrade over Quay Walker or not. He's certainly older than Quay Walker. I guess what I'm saying is they're 9-3-1 going into Denver. They're playing without Tucker Kraft, but Christian Watson was coming on, obviously. You know, I look back to what they did against the Steelers. You know, the one game that they had both Tucker Kraft and Christian Watson both playing at the same time, you know, Jordan Love threw for 360 yards. Tucker Kraft had 7 for 143 and a couple touchdowns. Christian Watson had 4 for like 84. If that's a glimpse of what their offense can be, if those guys all stay healthy and then you have Tucker healthy all season, yeah, I think they have every right to believe they can be a Super Bowl team. Defensively, you know, whenever you get Micah Parsons back, then it's go time and you try to tread water until then. But, you know, I saw someone, I don't know who posted this, but somebody posted a video of Josh Jacobs' big run in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And the person said something like, was I the only one who thought at this moment that the Packers were going to the Super Bowl? No. I mean, they were kicking the crap out of Denver Denver. And Denver mm-hmm. ended up being the number one seed and probably, if Bo Nix doesn't mm-hmm. get hurt, is probably in the Super Bowl. So, you know, again, they have to – The thing that, and I know Tausch had told an anecdote about being at the Tellurian golf outing in the Dells, and Dorsey Levens was there. And Dorsey Levens played in 3 Super Bowls, 2 with the Packers and 1 with the Eagles, I believe. Or maybe it was with the Giants. He had a 3rd Super Bowl without the Packers. And he basically admonished the crowd that was there, you know, donating to a great cause and everything else, but saying, do people know how blank and hard it is to get to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl? Like, so many things have to go right for you. It's not just we have the best roster. It's, you know, we talk about this with the schedule. It's not who you play. It's when you play them. Got to catch some breaks there. Certainly have to catch breaks with injury issues, yeah, both for your own team and maybe the team you're facing is missing a key piece the week you face them. So there's a lot of moving pieces. I think they've got a roster that's good enough for them to expect that they are going to contend for a trip to the Super Bowl. I don't think they're going to get there this year. I've said it before. I talked about this with you guys. I think they're probably still a year away, but they've got they've re-signed a bunch of guys to extensions. The money is not crippling with the contracts of Jordan Love or Micah Parsons this year or next year. It's really 2028 when that all comes home to roost. And so I think it's, you know, take a big step forward this year. Ideally, you know, if I'm speaking for Packers fans, not as one, you know, I'd like to see them win the division. I'd like to see them win a playoff game and then be in it late in a divisional round game. And if they win that game and reach the NFC Championship, awesome.
Yeah.
And if they don't, I still feel like it's a step forward.
Jason, they got to do something different for me. Like, they really do. And I think the biggest thing for me is I saw what the Patriots did and Seattle did last year, right? And, you know, you always say, you know, growth isn't linear, right? And we saw that because there's not – it was a phew! You saw Seattle. You saw two teams that didn't make the playoffs last year all of a sudden competing for Super Bowls. And so for me is the Packers got to do something different. I've seen them in the divisional round before, right? I need to see this team accomplish something more. You got to get me something more. This roster to me, and you spoke on it. I think you hit it, is that this roster was really talented. And despite not having Micah Parsons, despite not having Tucker Kraft, despite not having Zach Tom, you're talking about three guys that are probably, I would say, arguably for sure top 10 at their position. I would say Zach Tom's a top 10 right tackle, maybe top 10 tackle in the game of football. And you got Tucker Kraft, probably top 5 tight end, and Micah Parsons, top 3 pass rusher. They're all gone. Devontae Wyatt, probably your second best defensive lineman last year. They're all gone, and the team still was up and had a chance to take the lead against Chicago. So I think a lot of folks are looking at that Chicago game and allowing for that to be such a negative instead of thinking, well, boy, if the Packers get some of these guys back healthy next year, they're going to be a team to truly watch. I just feel like people are taking more of a glass half empty versus a glass half full perspective to this team and how they finished last year.
They still got to do it though, Kyle. And you know that, and you're right. They certainly, you know, I don't think anybody, to your point about glass half full, I don't think anybody's sitting around going, giving them credit for being in the position they were in despite all those injuries. I mean, let's not forget, we talked about Edgerrin Cooper earlier. He was finally having a very impactful game in that playoff game, and he left in the third quarter. And I believe they were leading like 21-6 at the time of his injury, and then they gave up the 25 fourth quarter points. So you can't win without your best players. Certainly your hope would be that those guys stay healthy. You know they're not going to all play all 17 games, but certainly if you're luckier than you were last year with injuries, you've got a much better chance to obviously do something in the postseason.
Jason, thank you. Before we go, real quick one. Sean Eichhorst, he joined you guys on Wildey and Tausch this week as an alum of UW-Madison. Right? You're a fan of UW-Madison because you're an alum, right?
I want the university to succeed. The football team's success or failure does not affect me at all. I covered them as a student. It's when I started to lose my fandom and be more of a reporter type. But look, there's a lot of people at that university that I care about. A lot of people that care deeply about that university that I care about.
Yeah.
I certainly am proud to be an alumnus. Whether their football team wins 5 games or 13 games, that doesn't really affect me. But I will say this. I was really impressed by Sean Eichhorst. But what I was most impressed by was, for as good as our conversation was with him, he said talk is cheap. And he knew that he was doing a lot of talking, but now it's time to get to work. And the fact that he's already met with these coaches, all the coaches, not just Luke Fickell, the fact that he's met with the top 25 donors, there was a great line from Mark Johnson, the women's hockey coach, to Mike Lucas of the Capital Times, talking about him being the shepherd and how all these sheep were like scattered about, and now he's bringing them all together. I didn't think that was
a breath of fresh air.
The leadership.
Breath
of fresh air. But the fact that all these sheep, which would be the coaches, we're all kind of different places. I did not think that reflected well on Chris McIntosh. Mm. And if that's one of the many things that that Sean Eichhorst does better, then that's a good starting point.
Absolutely. Jason Wildey, again, you can hear him every single weekday on Wildey and Tausch, 9 to noon here on ESPN Wisconsin. Thanks for joining the Homer Hour today, Jason.
All right, buddy. Take care. Be good.
Thank you. Again, that was Jason joining the Yingling Legends line.